Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 237. And my guest today, with a dream to be interpreted and explored and related to her waking life, is Liz from Queensland in Australia. Now, if you haven't listened to the show before, you need to know that. When we have a guest on the show, which is most of the time, sometimes we punctuate with a guestless show in order to bring you directly some dream interpretation tips and thoughts and musings, which people say that they like to have from time to time. But most of the time we have a guest on the show. And when this happens, the guests can be from anywhere in the world and we set up the appointment time. But I insist that I know absolutely nothing about the dream until we hit the record switch. So we've just finished talking with Liz, and I'm adding this bit on at the beginning. So as you listen, what you hear is the guest, in this case Liz, talking, introducing her dream, and then we go into it from there and explore it and relate it to her waking life, and at the end of all of that give some dream alchemy to help accelerate the outcomes that she wants to achieve. So you'll hear all of that happening in and that will begin in just a moment. But before we go there, just a reminder of the website addresses. My website's changing all the time if you haven't been there for a while. JaneTheresa.com, that's Teresa without an H. So that's where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, although you can also listen to the last 10 or so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, generally most of the podcast platforms. You can also go to JaneTheresa.com to find out about my courses or about how to consult with me about your dreams, or about how to, or you can just read the hundreds of blogs that are there about dreams and dreaming, or to sign up for the newsletter. And my other website, The Dream Academy, the address is dream-academy-online.com, and that's where you go if you would like to do the courses. The courses you do in your own time, at your own pace. They're video led, but also have lots of notes and charts to download. They start with how to interpret your dreams step by step, and the courses build right the way through to dream therapy, becoming a professional dream therapist certified courses. So that's where you can go there. But right now, you're here to listen to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson. So let's go over to Liz. Welcome to The Dream Show, Liz.
Thank you, Jane, for having me today.
It's an absolute pleasure. And you are in Queensland, Australia.
Yes, hot and sunny Queensland today.
sunny one day, perfect the next.
Perfect weather.
Perfect weather, yes.
Perfect sunshine.
For our listeners all over the world, Queensland is the state where it is said to be just absolutely beautiful every single day. In actual fact, there's sometimes days when you have thunderstorms.
Yeah, it is, and they're all so beautiful. But no. I feel like it's paradise. So yeah, really happy to be living here.
Okay, Liz in paradise, your time begins now. as you know, with the show, the format is that we make an arrangement to speak to lovely volunteer guests such as yourself. But I have no idea what the dream is until we start recording, which we have begun to do. So it's over to you. What's your dream?
Okay, thank you. So the dream that I'm going to share is from two nights ago, so from Sunday evening. And I guess like many dreamers and all of us, it sort of had, I don't know if the two dreams went together. There's a very small piece and then a larger story. So I'll probably share both of them. I'm not sure if they are joined or have any significance together, but I remembered them both and noted both of them, so I'll share them
that
if that's
good.
Okay, does that sound good?
That's absolutely good. Yeah,
perfect. So the first piece, and it was a bit of a funny night too, so it was very hot and humid Sunday evening, and I'd actually been woken in the night worried about my kids being too hot, and so it was a bit of a night where I was awake and then a bit restless, and I'm one of those sleepers that if I wake I have trouble going back to sleep, but I must have gone back and had these two dreams or ones that go together.
Yeah.
So the first part of it was the sense that we were in a house. It wasn't our house. It was probably a holiday rental. And I was concerned about lightning, so that there must have been a storm outside, or the sense that one was coming. And I was concerned for the kids. So maybe that linked in with the weather that was going on around us. So there was a concern there for the kids, that there was going, that lightning was going to cause a lightning strike, that might be a fire. So we didn't feel safe and we left. So that was kind of that was the completeness of that first little part of the dream. So that was essentially all it was. The bigger part of the dream is quite different. So it's the sense of it is that it was me. I'm assuming it's me as I am now. I don't really know who I was necessarily in the dream, but I was in a very dry, dusty, dirty, like on a pathway, on a road. And there was the sense that so it was like a track, a dirt track. And I kind of had this question in my mind, am I alone? And then I had the sense that no, there were others around me. I didn't know who they were, maybe 10. That's kind of the feeling that I had. So there was a pathway, dirty pathway ahead of us, dusty pathway. I was running, they were behind me, and telling me to exit that pathway and trying to escape to the left. You know, they were going through tunnels, through spiky brambles, trees, all of that kind of stuff. So there was a sense that there was a lot of bush to the left and that they were exiting this track, this dirty track, to the left, and all of them were able to get off. And I thought, so I kept going. So I didn't exit with them. I kept going. And I actually ended up running through a fence and found myself in a prison courtyard. So again, dirty, dusty, dry. I saw male prisoners all sort of, you know, dressed in probably dirty white, you know, kind of a glum kind of feeling, a bit scared. And I kept running straight through that prison courtyard, through the fence and through brambles sort of again. So I was able to escape that prison courtyard. And the others who had exited the pathway and had gone around the prison, I kind of drew a map once I woke up, but it's a sense that it was they kind of caught up with me. So I sort of saw them on the other side. But as I exited and I got through that prison courtyard, that there was somebody to the right that had spotted me and was kind of trying to capture me or something. And they were starting to throw large pieces of metal so I wouldn't be able to escape to the right. There's a pathway up to the right. So they sort of throwing large parts of maybe car parts, and it was building up. And there was a sense, I had the feeling that they were going to try and put it on fire to obviously get rid of me. And I had this thought, well, I'm going to stay here till they can't actually see me, and I'll use it as a barrier, and then I will continue to run through and escape through these trees and sticks and whatever it is, but I'll escape in that same straight line pathway, which is really the whole pathway of the dream. I'd gone straight the whole way, if you're kind of getting a sense of that yes. direction. I wasn't particularly bothered by it. I thought, okay, well, I'll wait, it piled up, and I escaped again through the sticks and then found myself into an open car park, you know, one that you would probably see outside of a shopping center or in a small town. And it wasn't a sense of relief that I had got through, because I thought that everybody could notice that I was different. Perhaps I looked different, or I still needed to keep running. So I kept then running off to the left. So there's a couple of things that I thought I couldn't really make sense of in terms of symbols, but there was a couple of points where we were talking about, you know, exiting to the left. I didn't take that. I kept going straight. Mm. I was able to, and then I finally went up off to the left, and that's kind of where the dream ended.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah. And great observations with all the left and the right and the straight ahead. You're spot on with that. At the end of the dream, when you went off to the left, how did you feel that was the end of the dream, or did you wake up thinking there might have been more? Did it have a sense of resolution?
Not particular resolution. Not like a sense of, okay, I've figured this out and now I know where I need to go. Nothing like that. It was more that it was a sense that I needed to continue. Like I needed that sort of negotiating the pathway and figuring out where to go, I still had to keep going, and I still wasn't safe because I knew I had to find a way through that next stage that was still yet ahead.
Yeah, the next stage. And even though that next stage was actually the only point in the dream where you veered off the straight ahead, you actually were going to go straight ahead by going left.
Correct. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Two things I want to say before I begin, just because they're kind of synchronicities, really. One is that I'm right in the middle of writing a blog for the Dream Academy for later this week, which, when your podcast goes out, will be a couple of weeks later than the blog. And the blog is about dreams about pathways.
Okay, wonderful.
And you know, it's totally focused on pathways. It's about dream themes, and it's about me and looking back over my life and seeing that I've often had these dreams about being on a path, and the focus being specifically on the path. So part of me smiling at that synchronicity. And the other thing that everyone listening would have noticed is that I specifically said to you in the at the beginning of the dream when we were chatting about your weather, I said, yeah, but sometimes you have lightning, don't you?
Yes.
And then isn't straight up, there's your lightning. Yeah.
So and that was the first thing that happened in that dream. Yes.
That's right. So everyone listening, I absolutely did not know about this dream coming up, but I think we have a connection here.
Lovely. I love it. And yeah. And just to add to that theme of pathways, I did note as well, as I'd been writing down dreams over the last couple of weeks, there definitely has been a theme for me. Many have involved pathways and buildings together. That's been common thing. So I don't know if that's just a background, but there was definitely, this is another one of a pathway dream.
Yeah. So it's possible if you went, once we've looked at this dream, if you then go back and look at those other dreams, you'll be able to identify whether all those pathway dreams had a similar theme going on, or whether you actually have been on a progressive working something out and breaking through with each successive dream, or whether it's been going the other way and getting more and more stuck. But what we do with this one should open up those ones. That's really interesting. Okay, so you've got the sense of the pathway. Also, when you were on the pathway, I noticed, you know, you were aware of the people behind you, and you were aware of the, you noticed the prisoners when you went through, and you noticed the metal car parts being thrown at you. In general, was your eye line always on the pathway or down rather than looking up?
Yes, it wasn't looking up, definitely not looking up to the sky. It was a sense of knowing where the pathway was and then what's in that sort of peripheral. So I could see the people and see the brambles and the sticks and the trees and the bushes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely wasn't upwards.
Yeah, I just noticed that there wasn't much reference to upwards. So there's a real sense here of real focus, isn't there, on the pathway, but also focus on the ground level, on what's right in front of me, and or in what feels grounded in my life, and or my pathway that I'm on metaphorically in life. But let's start with the intro, because I do believe it was an intro, because, and you probably noticed the connection with the fire there, you know, in the first part. You said there was a concern, it was lightning, and there was a concern for the kids because you might thought it might start a fire. And then at the end of the main part of the dream, you thought that the people were going to maybe set fire to the metal parts. Was that it?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, so they were going to set fire to obviously get rid of me. But I didn't realize there's a connection there too.
Yeah. Yes. So there's definitely a connection. So sometimes we have that, even if we wake up a bit and then go back to sleep. Mostly all the dreams in one night will mostly be on a similar topic and sort of like takes from different angles on the same issue. Not always, but often. But I do believe this is like there's an intro, then there was a deeper dive, as they say, going into it for the rest of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we take the first part of the dream really seriously as well and say that you were in a house and it felt like a holiday rental. So when you think of a holiday rental, what comes to mind for that? Is it a fun thing? Is it a temporary thing? What does a holiday rental mean to you?
Well, usually it would mean definitely fun, adventure, time with the family. This particular one, I guess the fact that I was identifying that it wasn't our home, you know, sometimes you dream of a house and you're in a home that isn't like your current home, but you know it's your home in the dream.
Yes.
So I think this was more that it was clearly not our home, and possibly that could create an additional sense of vulnerability in a way, because you don't know the home.
Yes.
So in this circumstance, when there was lightning and a storm, that being able to navigate those things in a space that I wasn't familiar with may have been the part there. So it wasn't those usual adventurous holiday fun feelings associated with the house. It was more that it was unknown, probably.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love the way, you know, for people listening in, that you've so beautifully explained that you know, people, when they're particularly when they're first beginning to understand their dreams, are looking for interpretations and meanings for specific symbols.
Yes.
And you might start with, yeah, holiday rental could be, as you say, fun adventure or a temporary place to stay or whatever. But the symbol always has to be put in context with the drama. And to me, the drama of the dream is almost the first thing to look at and then zoom in on the symbol. So you've done that beautifully there, that that your dream starts with a sense of, I'm in a space that isn't mine. It's new. And I'm worried about it. I'm particularly concerned for the kids in the dream that a fire might start. And as you say there beautifully, it's how do I navigate this unknown space and a sense of vulnerability? So the kids in the dream are not really your kids, even though they seem to be about your kids. Everyone and everything in the dream is represents something about you. So there's a sense there of there's a concern for kids. Kids are also vulnerable, or something that's new and becoming an adult. Maybe kids are on a path of their own and growing into something.
So there could be a
connection with the pathway. So in all senses, a sense of the dream opening up with, okay, because the beginning part of a dream usually kind of states the situation or issue that the rest of the dream goes to unfold and explore. So there's a sense of, okay, in my life, and particularly in the 1 to 2 days before the dream, I have a sense of, consciously or unconsciously, a sense of feeling vulnerable because I'm in a new space. It's not a space that I've usually regard as mine, and in terms of it's maybe something that will be mine, but it's new, it's a bit unknown, and I'm feeling concerned about it. I'm feeling a bit vulnerable. I'm worried that maybe a path ahead of me, because we're looking at kids here, may not turn out to be the growth path that I hope, and I'm a bit worried about being, what could fire be? Could it be burnt out? Could it be passion?
Or something that has, there definitely is, there's a power to fire that I associate, but something that's almost that you don't necessarily have control of. There's a sense of something there, you know, that has a power of its own.
Yes.
Yeah, that needs to be watched, needs to be carefully considered and managed, because it, yeah, I think that's the sense that I have. Like it's a beautiful, it has so much to it. Brings so much joy when you're sitting around a campfire, that kind of thing. But I think in this context for the both of them, well, the fire, I guess we'll come to that in the second part. But yeah, the fire is probably more for me here is something that and because we left in the dream we left feeling, because we weren't safe, that we weren't able to manage that, didn't feel comfortable with it, that we were then, and I guess the sense was that we were going to go back to where, to our home, to our real living
space. Back to a space that you knew, that you felt
that
comfortable in.
Yeah, to avoid that. So that fire, that interaction with the fire never occurred. And it didn't occur in the second part either. I never actually saw the fire.
No, it was just the thought of it. So, and I love the way that you said there, you know, that the fire has a power of its own. It needs to be watched. And if I can read my writing properly, it needs to be watched and managed carefully. Like kids, really, isn't it?
It is a little bit, because it has that sense of uncontrollable, doesn't it? Sometimes I guess it can be that. And that, but that beauty in its strength.
Yes.
Yes. But just that watchful eye.
Yes. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting.
So although this isn't really about your kids, you know, you experience that as a parent, that your children have a beauty and a strength, but they need a watchful eye. And, you know, when can it get out of control? And although you will experience that as a parent, because all parents do, except you've probably expressed it more eloquently than most parents think to do, it's still always about you. So it's coming back to somewhere in your life where you're in a situation where there's an unknowable element that makes you feel a bit vulnerable. It's a new space. You're wondering how to navigate it. It has a power and a beauty about it, a beauty and a strength that could be uncontrollable, but you want to keep a watchful eye on it. Will it grow out of control and, I don't know, lead to burnout or whatever? Or is it something that you can nurture, this fire, as you say, like a campfire, something that can bring you joy? So that's kind of like the nutshell of the beginning of the dream, which is an amazing, I love it, you know, for a relatively scary start. It's got that feeling of whether or not you've identified it yet, Liz, it's got that feeling of, wow, Liz is just stepping into a potential whole new power, something that she hasn't perhaps maybe put a hand up for, but maybe you've not really quite realizing at the moment. It's like, as I go forward in life, how do I want this power to evolve? How do I feel about this? And one thing that struck me there too, I don't know if it's going to become relevant, but you know, you particularly emphasized there again that you left and thought about going back, you know, left
again. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, I underlined that too, actually, because it was a different meaning. Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Yeah.
So for anybody listening that's maybe a bit slower, and I'm sure you're all with us, it's because the second part of the dream goes into all the lefts and the rights. And dreams do often do wordplay, particularly with people that actually love words.
it's a wonderful little puzzle, isn't it?
It is. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So and then to try and decode that and untangle it, it's where you, yeah, is it that play on words? Is it that you're literally leaving something behind, or is it around what you associate with the left?
Exactly.
So there can be that.
So what do you associate with the left?
Well, I guess the first thing is that I'm left-handed. so I guess, you know, from a young age, that's always quite a, you know, it wasn't always very common. So left is often to do with, yeah, how I write and do things in the world. Which it kind of goes in with that, isn't it? So it's a bit of a sense of an identity almost slightly attached to being left.
Yes.
It also, but this is probably more of a less likely possibly to do with my going into my subconscious. It might be more of my mental mind working now. You know, often when you think about, you know, just the human body and you're saying what, you know, your left side is often the feminine receptive side and you're right. You know, when you're looking at some of those natural therapy things.
Yes.
And say that as well. So that's something that I would think of as well to associate with left.
Yes.
And I guess left being the opposite of right, always a sense of direction. It also gives that sense of direction as
yes,
well.
Yes, it does.
To, yeah.
Beautifully handled with your left hand there. So yeah, I agree. If I went into this dream blind without knowing that, because of the left and the rights, I would be looking at the left as the inner world, the yin, the as you say, the feminine receptive, and the right as the outer world, the yang, the active doing kind of world, and the straight line between the two, questionably being having both of those in balance. I don't know, but I would be looking at that. And then, though, the moment that you mentioned being left-handed, I remembered that at the end of the dream, almost at the very end, you came to that, you went through the prison, you escaped, you got to the open car park.
Yes.
And you said you didn't feel relief because you knew that you looked different. You needed to keep going. So, you know, as a left-handed child, were you made to feel different?
Yes. Mm. Yes. At that stage, yeah, I think this was years ago, you know, you gave a different pen and you had to sit in a particular area of the classroom so you didn't bump somebody and there was always discussion. I remember my grandfather didn't agree with it and, you know, there was definitely a difference. Yeah.
And those things can go very deep. And I can relate to that because I'm primarily right-handed now, but I was left-handed taught, made to be right-handed. And it comes up sometime and some things I'll just reach with my left hand, some things I can only do with my left hand. The grandfatherly advice to the parents about what to do.
Yes, the nudge. But it's fascinating though that you still have the instinct now and again that's
yes,
a natural. Yeah, fascinating.
It's natural. And so luckily, even though you were left to be a natural left-hander, you did still suffer as a child for being pointed out to be different. Whether that grew to be a strength in you, which I probably imagine it would have done, or whether it was a shadow. It's those things that happen to us, those experiences that we have when we're really little, that live on.
Yeah.
Whether they live on consciously or unconsciously, they can be there to trip us up to, you know, and there's that sense in your dream that I looked different, I am different. So whether you evolved to be different in the world because of being left-handed and learning to be different, or whether you evolved to be different in the world because of other things, or whether you are thinking now about being even more different in the world, that difference seems to be something that's coming into the dream, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, isn't that fascinating? Yeah, and it's certainly the positive, so the left-handedness, because it was, my dad managed it quite well. It was his father, and he was quite forceful, I guess, in allowing and embracing me to be who I was. So that was supported definitely in the family. And being different is definitely something that's celebrated. So it's not, it's not held me back at all. And my husband's left-handed, so we just found each other, which is a wonderful thing. So
That's wonderful. So you are able to express yourself, be yourself, be comfortable being different. And there's power in that. There's a beauty and strength in that, like back to the fire thing as well.
Okay,
so we then find that when you sort of leave the concern about the fire right at the start of the dream, as I'm not really sure that I'm ready to control or manage this new power that I'm thinking about. In leaving that, you find yourself on a dusty, dirty pathway. How did you feel about it being dusty and dirty?
It's probably one of my least favorite environments, other than cold. But I really don't like dusty and dirty. Just the dust, the dry dust, is something that I don't like. Yeah, you know, that deserty kind of sense.
Yes, yeah.
And even the bushes that were to my left, that the others were escaping through, they were dry. And that sense of dry bush is something that doesn't make my heart sing at all.
So in a sense, moving out of the space, the uncertain space at the beginning of the dream, stepping away from the potential power of the fire, you find yourself in a place that you don't really like. And you're on track. You also describe it as a road track. So it's like, well, here I am in this different space. I wonder how it would have been if I'd stayed with the fire. But nevertheless, this is what we're exploring now. Whether in life you've stepped onto, in the last one or two days, whether you've stepped onto or are contemplating a dusty, dirty, a pathway that you don't like, or whether the dream is exploring this, is just, well, one thing we could do is we could step onto, you could go back and do something you don't really like. How would that turn out? You know, these options. But you do then ask, am I alone? And did you want to be alone, or did you want to have people around you in the dream?
I don't think I had a sense to whether I wanted it or not. It was more, I don't know if there was a protective element, perhaps, you know, like I was at the front, there was nobody in front of me. And I just thought to myself, I knew it wasn't some, because I knew I was running. I'm pretty sure I was moving along that pathway quickly. And there was a sense to keep moving. It wasn't that I was really afraid of something behind me and I was worried something was going to catch me, but I knew that I needed to keep going. And I just had that sense, you know, are there other people in this sort of circumstance as well, and what are they doing? Perhaps that was more the sense.
Yeah, so the sense of, how are they coping with this? Are they doing things differently to me?
Yes. And they were then trying to get me to go. And I remember writing down, you know, they were telling me to hide.
Yes.
And to go to the tunnels to the left, to go to that track.
Yes.
But I kept going straight ahead.
Yeah. And you kept going straight ahead because?
I don't know. and that was the strange thing. And that's what I decided. Maybe that was just, I was just going to go straight ahead. Or was it that I looked to those brambles and I didn't want to do that? Although I could see them going through in the tunnels, but I wanted to see, maybe it was that I wanted to see where the path was going.
Yes.
Maybe I wanted to get that, keep tracking. And then I realized that, well, now I was in a prison, you know, courtyard, that wasn't possibly the best decision. But I just thought, well, I'll keep going, I'll get past that, I'll move past that bit and I'll keep going.
And you did end up with some brambles at some stage anyway, didn't you?
I did. So I had to cross them again to get out of that prison courtyard, get through. It was obviously a fence. I was, you know, a sense of, you know, the idea of possibly, you know, barbed wire fence. I didn't get hurt at all. I never got any physical hurt. Damage. But I broke, had to get through something, sticks and brambles, and again on the other side. So it was like there was a pathway. Once I got through that prison courtyard, there was a fence I got through, and then there was a pathway that I was on, but on the other side there was brambles and sticks, and I ended up having to go through those to get to the car park. Yeah.
So it's almost like whether you went to the left or whether you went straight ahead, ultimately maybe they were going to have to go through the brambles.
Correct. Yeah.
And sometimes in life, that's how it is, isn't it? Whichever path we take, sometimes there's an issue that we have to work through anyway. Because with the people saying to you, "Oh, you should exit left because you need to hide," so they're all aspects of yourself. But anyway, the main one is the most conscious one of you, and the other ones are the least, you know, the more unconscious voices. But they are basically advocating hiding. Mm-hmm. And in the dream, you are advocating escaping towards the end, escaping from the prison. There's a difference between hiding and escaping, subtle difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one's more empowered almost, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, and the others, yeah, the, okay. And even me exiting in the same way, it was still my choice. I think that was the sense.
Yes, you know? It was. It was your choice. So there would be many unconscious voices within you saying, you should hide, you're different, you need to come this way, we shouldn't be running along so quickly and making headway progress, and just, you know, you're on this path that you don't like, but, you know, you don't have to be on there, you can hide over here. And there's a part of you going, no, I've made this decision for me, and although I don't like this path, I'm going to go straight ahead because I've made that choice and I'm going to see where it ends up. And there's still that sense of there's something that I've got to escape from, something I'm not really happy with, but I'm going to see it through. I think you even used the word see it through maybe at some stage. And you do see it through, and you come through some tough times, and you still encounter the brambles. And amazingly, you meet up with all those people on the other side again. So it's like there were two choices that you are contemplating in the dream. One, to go and hide and maybe to hide in the sense of being a left-handed child, you know, I'm different, or maybe to hide in the sense of you know, it shouldn't be hiding, it should be a very positive thing for us all to retreat into our inner world, into our female receptivity, into our yin, to regroup, to find out how we really are on the inside, to maybe look at things differently, to look at things in a more holistic, rounded way, and then to come out going, right, I've got it now, now I'm going straight ahead. So that can be a positive thing, but the sense in the dream was that it was a hiding thing. So, you know, there are times in our lives when we may question ourselves and say, am I spending a lot of time in my inner world because I'm looking for ways to step into my outer world and do what I want to
escape.
Do? Yeah. Or am I spending too long in my inner world because I'm hiding from what I don't want to face?
Yes. Yeah. And that's very, very relevant, and timely too, I think, to what I've been feeling. And it is working out. Yes, are you trying to avoid something or escape it, or is it actually really productive time to spend considering those and having that sort of retreat reflection time?
Yes.
And could it be that there's that dual nature going on there, that because I guess we all have those two sides, so, and it's honouring both of them because in the end they come together.
In the end, they come together, so it is about honouring them. Although in your dream, I'm trying to say too many things at once. In your dream, you don't spend much time on the right. In fact, the right is throwing all this metal crap at you.
Yeah. So, no, not at all. It's not considered at all.
No. So although you're going along the straight ahead, which could be conceived as being equally balanced between the left and the right, the inner and outer world, and you have a determination for that, you're not actually looking at what's coming at you from the outside world. You're trying to escape that. So the figure that feels like you, you know, the one that's running on the road, is probably the most conscious aspect of yourself, that when you're awake, you would relate with what she's feeling and what she's thinking and what she's doing in the dream. And the other figures, the ones that go off to the left, will be more unconscious parts of yourself that are actually already in that inner world, or that would advocate, let's hide from what's going on in the outer world. Let's not go straight ahead, let's not even go to the right, let's hide over here, let's hide inside. And, you know, you're quite correct when you say it's about finding that balance, the right amount of time to go in, not to hide, but to take refuge sometimes, absolutely, to take time out from the world, but not in the sense of hiding, to come out with something new and valuable. So I like the way that the conscious figure of you has a committed plan and that in the dream is looking at where the balance is there. But then I'd want to know why in the dream you're getting all this crap thrown at you from the right hand side. Yeah. And not only crap.
And it's actually interesting that now that I'm aware of it, I didn't sense anything from the right until all of that metal was being thrown at me, and that was coming at me from the right. Other than that, it was almost like that there isn't even anything throughout the dream that's in that space.
No, that's right. That's correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It is. And what they were throwing at you was metal, often but not always, because you can't, no symbol is universal, but I often see metal in dreams as kind of being a bit symbolic of mental, not as crazy, but mental thoughts and feelings, which we tend to associate
with the right as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And metal is a hard substance, which maybe we recognize more as an outer world thing rather than the fluidity of the inner world, which is maybe more watery. Mm-hmm. But you saw them in the dream as maybe car parts, or was there something else you thought they might have been?
No, just large pieces of metal, which looked like, the side of a car or the front bonnet of a car, large pieces that were coming at me and landing on top of, because it was almost like there was a little bit of a slope to that right. So they were sort of starting to stack up.
Oh, yeah.
And as they stacked up, they couldn't see where I was. So they were assuming that I was underneath it all and I was letting it pile up. So to a point where I was comfortable that I could escape without them even seeing me, because I would be completely covered.
I love it. So it's a bit of a hide thing again in the completely covered.
Yeah.
The fact that they may or may not have been bits of car, and particularly the sides of the car and the bonnets of the car, may or may not relate to, in waking life, we would see a car maybe as a vehicle to get us on our journey where we're going. So there may have been old cars that you had, old drive, old motivation, old direction, old ways of doing things that are somehow stacking up. You particularly said there that it was stacking up and stacking up. So there's a sense of something in the waking world, in the outer world, which is, you feel is stacking up and stacking up. And you also said they were letting it pile up, and this seemed to be an advantage to you in the dream. So there could also be a sense of, if I just let something in the outer world, which I'm not actually really looking at in the dream, but if I just let it pile up and let it pile up and let it pile up, maybe I can just escape it all.
Yes, and use it to my advantage.
Which could, I think, most people listening in could identify at least one situation in their life where they've done that. I'll just ignore it. It'll pile up and I'll just creep on past it and that'll be that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't have to do that anymore. But there is the concern in the dream, again, that they may be building it up to create a fire. A fire that in the dream you're concerned will
take my life. So I think that was the sense that I got, that they were stacking it up. And probably to light it, maybe pour petrol on it or something. I think that was kind of the sense that I had, that it would just burn and I would be stuck under there.
You'd be stuck under it and it would take your life.
Mm.
And you mentioned at the beginning of the dream, when we're looking at fire, that sense of power and beauty and strength. And I can't remember, but I had the sense that you were talking about that fire as something that gave life if you managed it correctly, that added to life and joy.
Yes.
And there's a sense at the end of the dream that there is something stacking up there that could take your life, the opposite, the fire out of control.
Yes.
So it's almost as if there could be something that there's a fire possibility in your life now in terms of a power that you could step into, or you may have already stepped into, that you would like to have. And it's that question of, do I step away from it because it's too powerful? Do I step into it because it's very powerful? Could it consume me? Could it lead to something that actually will create piles of stuff in my outer world? could it lead to, this wouldn't be it, Liz, but just to put a picture in your mind, it could be something like, if you accepted a new job and you think, yeah, that would be really powerful, that would really light me up, I'd really like that, but I can see that it's going to create an amazing amount of work, and maybe it'll get to the point where all this work will pile up and pile up and pile up. And in the end, something that I'd hoped would light me up and give me joy is actually going to take my life and burn me out. So it could be that kind of situation.
But that's the exact example that's, occurring in my life. That's one of the contenders for what I'm trying to think. I'm thinking about where this is specifically engaging with, you know, in my life. And that is one of the possibilities. So that is a real possibility. It hasn't formalized itself yet, but that's definitely the dynamics that are there. So it's a bigger job. Promotion, but yes, it's going to be a lot more work, and not possibly the work that I want to do.
Possibly not the work. So more like the dusty, dirty pathway.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Whereas I have another side of my work that has been starting to blossom a little bit more, which is definitely engaging more of that left-hand side of me, which I enjoy. But it is different. I'm doing something that's a little bit different to what people usually do. so maybe there's a sense of that. Yeah.
Yes.
How confident am I? It is. I can see the incredible impact it's had for people, the work that I have been doing. But I'm still cautious about feeling confident in it, I think.
That's the inner world. That's the inner world work you're talking about. That's been powerful people. Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you said at the beginning of that it's one of many possible, I forget the word you used now, but, I'll use manifestations of the dream, because our dreams do, when we look into them, once you pick up a theme like that, it's amazing how you can then point, oh, that's happening in this area of my, actually, that's happening in this area. Oh, look, it applies to this too, because whatever it is that we're dealing with in life, we're usually coming up against it in many different areas of our life. So we can point a finger and say, yeah, it's happening at work. Yes, it's happening over here.
It's beautiful. It's a theme, isn't it? That just runs. It's intertwined into, an undercurrent to your life. Yeah.
Yes,
in all
bits.
Because I can also see it, looking at houses and where we're living, as something that's also changed, potentially we can change. And also with my kids and their friendship groups and social interactions. So there's probably three that I can see that it does engage with and, gives me some good insights for all three of those, which are quite different.
They sound different. And I think the beauty of something like that is, and probably when we come to do some dream alchemy, this will apply. It's almost like you could pick any one of those and make the change there, and the others will correspondingly transform.
Fascinating.
Because it's like you it happens on a deep unconscious level, but also to some extent you make the commitment to say, sort out your children's friendship groups or change the house or whatever, and that changes that different approach then naturally filters through to the job situation and everything else. So
almost incredible.
Yeah, pick which one. So the dream suggests that if you take the straight, running straight down the middle line, going straight ahead with what we assume is where you're at now. I'm on this path that I don't really like, but I've started it and I'm going to finish it. Takes you through a sense of the prison, even though you come out the other side. So if you look at that, you know, the dream is then drawing attention to you, there'll be some place on this path where I might feel, what about the prison? Imprisoned? What?
Do you know the strange thing about the prison? I guess that's the natural pathways you'd go to for the word and the sense about it. But the things that stood out, which is a bit peculiar, although maybe not because we've been talking about this in terms of the dream theme, is it was actually the prisoners that stood out to me, and they were male. There wasn't much life or energy to them, but they were all different. For some reason, it stood out to me that they all looked different. Some were short, some were larger, some were quite thin, they were all very different looking. And that was my sense when I went through it. I didn't feel confined because I knew that I would just keep going and I'd get through the other other side. So I saw them and they looked lifeless. They looked dull. And obviously there's a slight sense of, you know, might be a bit nervous, a bit scared of somebody who's done something, you know, and they're there. So I couldn't trust them. But it was more that the notable thing as I moved through the space was, oh, they're so different. Look at how different they look. Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting, isn't it? So it comes back to that point of, I, Liz, I'm different and feel different. And I'm also contemplating maybe doing something different, maybe not. But the fact that they're all men, they're all male prisoners. And so we have then males maybe representing the outer world, the yang. I don't know. I have to step back then. The people that wanted you to hide and go to the left, do you know if they were male or female?
You know, I feel like there were certainly males. I don't know if there were females.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but they could be. But yeah. But whereas the prisoners were definitely all male, and it was like noting the difference. It was not good or bad. It didn't fuel any other emotion. It was just notably interesting, curious. Oh, how different they are. Yeah.
But although you say it wasn't good or bad, that's quite interesting in itself, because they were drained of life. They were lifeless in the dream. So there's a sense of they didn't have an energy that was thrilling, exciting, powerful, magnificent. They were drained of energy. They were dull. So in the same sense that you say you had a curiosity about them, but it was not good or bad. It was as if there wasn't an emotion there. It was you were observing.
Yes, just an observing energy. Yeah. Yes.
Which may or may not be a trait of the outer world as well. So there's a whole sense, if they're aspects of yourself, then there's that sense of there's a large contingent of me that either in the past, the present, or the potential future, is out there in the outer world, feels imprisoned, but more so than that, as you say, feels different, which is a good thing, but feels drained of energy. What if all those different people were not as lifeless as that? If they got their life back,
then it'd be much more lively, interesting. Yes.
Yeah. So there's a sense that there's a part of yourself maybe that still has been imprisoned or kept in a confined space, but a part of yourself connected with the outer world that has lost its life energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, could do with some fire, but not too much fire, not that kind that burns you out. And so, you know, other reference that the fire with all that stuff that's building out might drain my life, take my life. There's maybe a sense with the guys from the prison there of maybe this has happened before. I've worked in the outer world in that kind of sense with less reverence for my inner world, and it's left me feeling dull. Acknowledge that I'm different and I've played a different role or many different roles, but it's left me feeling drained.
I definitely relate to that in terms of the work sense. Absolutely.
So you have lots of, because I just have to be aware of our time here to keep our podcast in under an hour. At the end of the dream, you did escape, but there was still not a sense, there wasn't a sense of relief, more just that you realised because you looked different, you still had to keep going. You needed to keep on going. You considered going to the left, I think, at the end.
And I was, that was my pathway. That was my trajectory. Like, you know, on the straight and narrow, that was my trajectory at first. And I kept doing it. I looked up to the left and I knew that was where I was going. That was where I was heading. That was now the next stage. Yeah, it hadn't concluded, but it was that next stage. Yeah.
So it's almost as if then from what you're saying, that in the dream, at least your decision in the dream or your resolution in the dream was, okay, I'm going to turn to the left. My straight and narrow by default is now going to the left, because I don't want to be in that lifeless, drained, maybe potentially burnt out situation in the right.
Yes, which is, and the funny, the word, just when you said right then too, you know, it's that the option that I'm looking at is often the right thing to do, would be considered the right thing to do. Little, which is interesting. So
it is, isn't it? So a dream never tells us what to do. It doesn't give us guidance per se. It's a mirror as to where exactly you were on that night. And so those are all the things and the conflicts and the dynamics and the beliefs that were going on within you. So, you know, one could argue, if one wished, and, you know, my feeling and probably yours is this wouldn't be that really the best thing to do, but one could argue that What if you turned around and you looked at what was on the right and you gave it the right amount of fire, not too much to burn out, but you gave it some energy, you fed its points of difference, you freed it from the sense of imprisonment. Could it then actually give you something that you have been trying to escape or not wanting to take on? Could it in fact be something powerful and wonderful for you to do? You know, you could look into the dream and ask yourself that question, is something out of balance here? Am I trying to escape something that actually would be really good for me? But then on the other hand, so much of the dream and the dream decision is that I really want to go to the left, and the arguments the arguments within the dream and the arguments listening to what you're saying and how you're responding to some of the questions that I'm throwing at you is that you're feeling that there's more of a more magic than you can bring out, because you're noticing the magic of the work on the inner world that you're doing in your work, and you want to bring more of that out. But that's me just reading what you're saying to me. How are you feeling at the moment, having learned those extra things about yourself from this dream?
No, that certainly helps just open my mind to some of those considerations. And I think just exploring both of those would be really helpful, even just through, and you'll probably go into this for the dream alchemy process or if we do that, but it's probably just considering those different things, opening up to how could it be, you know, looking at those, the day-to-day, the work things that I'm looking at, how could it be that you could engage with those in a balanced way that it could be a positive, and then also giving consideration to the other things that I'm exploring. I guess that would be the ideal outcome, is being able to do both. I think that would really be what my I'd be really happy with.
That would be fantastic. And then I would add to that, or suggest to that, to be able to do both without a feeling of hiding and without a feeling of escape, because you've got on the left, the urge was to, you've got to hide in the bushes. That was the hide. And not on the right, but when you looked at what was on the right, you wanted to escape by going straight ahead. So how can you do what you have just said there, explore both options, see if you can bring both into your life, but without a sense of hiding and without a sense of escape,
without having perfect words too, just for how I have my sense of both of those. It really speaks to what or how I feel about them.
So if you could pick a word, just, it doesn't have to be a logical word, but what would be the opposite to hide for you?
I would say content.
That's lovely. Yeah. And what would be the opposite to escape?
I would say I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm here.
That's great. So there's a sense of, if you wanted to work with this dream, and as you say, we could do with the dream alchemy, is to convert any conscious or unconscious drive to hide into contentment. I don't need to hide because I'm content with whatever choice I make. And similarly with escape, any conscious or unconscious drive I have to escape, I want to transform that into a sense of, no, I'm here. Deal with it.
This is me. I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. I've no need to escape anything.
No.
So in life, you know, yes, you can go and explore all these options that we've just said, but to bring the dream alchemy into it, I have some ideas, but I'm always interested in what the dreamer's ideas are, because it's kind of, sometimes you say, the dreamer will say, oh, no, nothing really, you just give me a dream alchemy. But sometimes, excuse the pun, there's a burning desire, you know, that something that you can see that you would like to work with. So something jumping to your mind here?
I had the sense automatically for the, and using the word automatically is helpful, because I was going to say automatic writing for the right side, to explore some of, just to get into a little bit more depth, to understand, you know, the richness behind what I'm feeling there in terms of that work possibility, and allowing it to really understanding what is maybe at the root of what am I trying to escape, so I can understand that, bring that up a little bit, and then understand, so I the root cause of it, I guess, and then I can help to bring in that, as we're saying, that I'm here, you know, to be more comfortable with it, whatever it is that I'm fearing there or wanting to escape.
Yes.
Yeah, so doing some automatic writing, if I create a little bit of space for myself to do that, to kind of go into that into a bit of detail.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And also writing is like writing, W-R-I-T-I-N-G-R-I-G-H-T.
Oh,
like
yeah. Yes. So, yeah, so just opening, giving myself a little bit of space and time, which obviously parents with young kids don't have a lot of time, or, you know, but we all don't have much time. But I think that's would be a really nice thing to give myself that opportunity just to understand that.
That's good. And the fact that it's automatic writing means it's not going to take that long either, so in terms of finding time to do it.
Yes.
So absolutely, yeah, do that. And as close as you can do it, even if you have some time now straight after we've talked about it and you're still in, you know, you're still in contact with the symbolism and the life of the dream. And then maybe after you've done that, if you enjoy writing so much, I'm just having a little think here.
I had a sense for the other side. So I guess I've got this clear in my mind that the sides, that the left and the right, and honouring both. I had a sense of something to do with music for the left side for some reason, that maybe it's just connecting with that feeling of contentment.
Yes.
Just whatever, not in a mental, you know, again, digging deeper or understanding it, but just can maybe putting on a song that makes me feel content.
That's good, yes.
Yeah.
Because one of the essences of dream alchemy is to, for anybody listening in, is to work either with a symbol or a feeling from the dream or a bit of the drama and to transform it from the more negative aspect, like hide or escape, into the more positive that you want. And when we do that, we always take the less desirable emotion and transform it into the more desirable emotion. So however you decide to do that with your music, to bring into that alchemy the sense of I am positively transforming hide into content, or I am transforming escape into I'm here. You could even write some lyrics.
or come up with your own little tune to sing. Yes. That's a great idea.
And then as an addendum to that, I mean, not to throw stuff at you, but I know you can cope with this one easily, anytime that you notice a sense of, or even just a shimmering sense of hiding or a want to hide, to say stop, observe this moment, how can I transform this into being contented rather than hiding, because I'm different, you know, it comes along your point of difference here. And the same as escape, anytime there's a sense of I just want to escape this, stop, pause, look at that, how can I transform that need to escape into being present, being here, sorry everyone, this is me, I'm different, I'm here, and going through it from that angle too.
Perfect. Yeah, wonderful. Really, really wonderful. Okay. Really helpful. helpful. I did not know where we were going to go with this because I didn't have any idea. But it's really helped so much.
That's excellent. Thank you so much for being a wonderful and lively guest. You sound to me like you've got plenty of fire burning and beautiful, strong, manageable way there, and long may it last.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much, Jane.
That was fun, wasn't it? Uncovering all the symbols, exploring that pathway, helping Liz to make some decisions, which she will do as she plunges into the dream alchemy now, I'm sure. And as I mentioned during it, you know, I'm actually halfway through, this is the middle of November as we recorded this, and I'm actually halfway through writing a blog for the Dream Academy on pathway dreams. The topic is, because I'm only halfway through it, was me looking back over my life of dreams and noticing that there are some themes, and that one of the common themes in my dreams, you know, we normally look at common themes like, oh, you know, teeth falling out or flying or running, but we all have our personal themes. And I noticed that a great theme for me since very early childhood would be dreams that feature me walking along a path somewhere. So I'm writing about this blog in order to bring to your attention, if you're reading the blog, you know, where in my life, where in my dreams, what are the themes in my dreams, and how can I use this kind of overview of looking not just at one dream, but looking at all the dreams which feature a certain kind of thing in them. So the fact that it was a great synchronicity, the fact that Liz's dream was all about pathways, and my next job after finishing talking to you to finish this podcast is to go and complete that blog, because I have to have it uploaded in a couple of days. So I thought that was interesting. Talking about pathways and paths in general, as you probably know, I've written 7 books on dreams and dreaming, and the latest, Bird of Paradise, which came out this year, does in many ways, I guess, is about a path, navigating your path through life and finding your calling, and takes into account dreams and synchronicities. So if you haven't got that far yet, the Bird of Paradise, and the subtitle is, I can't remember what the subtitle is actually at the moment. There you go. But anyway, Taming the Unconscious to Grow, Bring Your Dreams to Fruition. That's it. I've moved on, gone on to other things, but the book only came out this year. You can find it on my website at janetheresa.com. You can buy it at all of the online major bookstores, you know, Amazon, Book Depository, etc. It exists in paperback and ebook versions. And I think that's enough for me from today. Plenty for you to absorb there. Again, the websites are janetheresa.com or dream-academy-online.com. The next episode of The Dream Show, episode 238, is due out on the last day of this year, the 31st of December 2020, as we gather around the fireworks and wonder what 2021 will bring us after this amazing year. So have a wonderful month. Have a wonderful Christmas. And I'll be speaking to you on New Year's Eve. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.